भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11. The chapter is entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, text number 20. Na idam nedam yasho raghupate surayashnayata leela tanor adhika samya vimukta dhamna रक्षो वदो जलधि बंधनमस्त्र पूगये किं तस्य शत्रुहनने कपय सहायः। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: लॉर्ड रामचंद्रस रेपुटेशन फॉर हैविंग किल्ड रावण with showers of arrows at the request of demigods and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Ramchandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramchandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. Purport: as stated in the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natas samascha abhidikasya drishyate, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate, svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. The Lord has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Whatever he does is his pastime. The Lord has no duty to perform to oblige anyone. Nonetheless, he appears to act to protect his devotees or kill his enemies. Of course, no one can be the Lord's enemy, since who could be more powerful than the Lord? There is actually no question of anyone's being his enemy, but when the Lord wants to take pleasure in pastimes, he comes down to this material world and acts like a human being, thus showing his wonderful, glorious activities to please the devotees. His devotees always want to see the Lord victorious in varied activities, and therefore to please himself and them, the Lord sometimes agrees to act as a human being and perform wonderful, uncommon pastimes for the satisfaction of the devotees. Hare Krishna. So first of all, we'd like to seek blessings of His Grace Kalakanda Prabhu. He's here. It's an embarrassing situation for me to sit here and speak in front of him, but he has blessed me with this garland, so I'll try to speak something from Srila Prabhupada's books. So in this particular translation, we are seeing that it is mentioned that for Lord Ramchandra, there was no need for killing Ravana, nor there was any need for building a bridge, nor any need to take help from the monkeys. And Srila Prabhupada quotes in his brilliant purport this famous verse from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. That means the Supreme Lord has nothing to do because no one is equal to him or powerful than him. So Lord actually does not have anything to do. He does not have to perform any work. That is the quality of the Lord, the characteristics of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na tasya karanam karanam cha vidyate. I was going through some lectures of Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada is quoting this particular Shvetashvatara Upanishad Shloka, and Srila Prabhupada gives various beautiful insights to this Shloka. So in particular lecture, Srila Prabhupada, this is in Auckland, where Srila Prabhupada is giving a talk to artists sitting in an art gallery. So Srila Prabhupada is saying there, this quoting is Shloka, Srila Prabhupada says, that na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate na tas samasya abhidhikasya drishyate. He's saying that Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, Supreme Lord is powerful, no one is equal to him, no one superior to him. And the Supreme Lord is not just Supreme Controller, Srila Prabhupada says he is also a Supreme Artist. Because Srila Prabhupada is addressing a gallery of an art gallery, in order to, for them, the artist to relate, Prabhupada says that Krishna is Supreme Artist. And then he mentions, he connects this shloka with their profession. Prabhupada says, just like an artist, if he decides to paint a beautiful rose, then he has to take his brush, then has to mix colors in the palette, and then he has to tax his brains finally to get a rose on his paper which looks, or at least looks, like an original rose, and then he may get a reward for that. So his whole idea and the whole work he's doing, taking a brush and the mixing of colors in the palette and then taxing his brain, after all that efforts he gets a picture of rose which is just an imitation of the real rose. And Srila Prabhupada says, then you see the whole garden outside the house, and there, not just one rose, thousands and thousands of roses. And who has got that rose? That rose has come from nature. But which nature, Prabhupada says? Whose nature? That is Krishna's nature. So a painter, he tries his best with all that efforts to get a rose which looks like an original rose. But let's see, this rose is here. There is no fragrance. We can't touch, we can't feel the rose. But the original rose, we can touch, we can feel, we can actually smell the fragrance also. That is Krishna's creation. So Prabhupada says that in the lecture that Krishna's creation is wonderful. He creates roses like anything. And what happened? Okay. There's a rose on my garland also. I didn't know I get garland rose. So Krishna's creation is so beautiful, and he does everything through his energies. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. He does not act himself. Just by his energies, everything is done. And then Prabhupada, for the modern audience to relate, Prabhupada says, today is the electronic age. In the electronic age, a man pushes a button and a huge machine starts functioning. And Prabhupada says, just like a huge aeroplane, the pilot sits, just pushes a button, and a huge aeroplane, like a city, flies in the sky. So Krishna also, same way. His energy works like that. Prabhupada says, Krishna does not have to push a button. Krishna has to desire. Let there be a creation. And there is a whole creation. So this is na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Then another lecture, Prabhupada speaks about this verse, and Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna is called as Jagadish. That means he is a controller of everything, and no one can control him. And Prabhupada says, in this world, everyone is trying to be controller of something or other. And Prabhupada humorously says, if someone has nothing to control, then he takes a cat or a dog to control the cat or a dog as his pet. And then he controls the cat by saying, oh cat, come here. But Prabhupada says, sometimes we have seen that instead of controlling a dog or a cat, a dog or a cat is controlling the master. So everyone is trying to control, but Krishna is supreme controller. And what kind of control he has? Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. He controls, but he is not involved. Everything is functioning by his energies. And Prabhupada gives a modern example of that time. He mentions that in the United States of America, there is President Johnson. Mr. Johnson, just recently there was a crisis, so Mr. Johnson had to take a huge cabinet meeting to solve the crisis. But Krishna doesn't know how to call a cabinet meeting for solving crisis, Prabhupada says. Svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. Everything is done by his energies. He does not have to do anything himself. Srila Prabhupada says, it says in this purport, Lord has nothing to do, but whatever he does, he is his pastime. That means there is no work involved for Krishna. But when he comes and does something, it is called his pastime. And pastime is for enjoyment, not to put efforts or to gain something. So, Srila Prabhupada was quoting in the same class that one who knows that Supreme Personality of Godhead, or rather, one who knows that a Lord is someone who does not have to work, he can easily identify his Lord. It will not take time for him. And Prabhupada quoted a story of a European gentleman who came to India in search of a God, and then he went to all the temples in India. And Prabhupada mentions that he first went to the temple of Kali, and there he saw that the goddess Kali was in a ferocious form. She was holding a big chopper and chopping the heads of demons. She was wearing a garland of heads of demons. So he was aghast. And then he went to the next temple. And then he saw eventually all the temples he visited that the deity, the goddess, the god were involved in some kind of work, either horrible or beneficial. Some work they were involved. And then Prabhupada says, this gentleman finally came to the temple of Radha and Krishna. And then he said, Prabhupada said, this man was very intelligent. So he said, this is God. Why? Because here Krishna is just playing his flute and is enjoying with Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada says, Krishna is not going to office, not going to factory. He is standing there playing his flute. And therefore he must be God. Because God is that person who just enjoys, and everything is taken care by his energies. In that particular class, Srila Prabhupada also was trying to bring the point about how atheists and the Mayavadis are actually wrong in their conclusions. The Mayavadis, they say that just by meditation you can become God. And Prabhupada was mentioning that Krishna did not become God by meditation. From birth, from his appearance in this material world, he was God. When Kamsa sent the first demon as Putana, Krishna was a small child. And Putana comes in a very beautiful form, and then she picks up Krishna to allow her to suck her breast. And then Krishna, while sucking the milk, he also sucks the life air. So Krishna does not perform any meditation to become God. So Krishna is always God. And he does not have to show himself a God to do a very big activity. Just by his natural activity or pastime, he kills Putana. So Prabhupada is mentioning that the atheists, they are also wrong because they say that God is dead. And the atheists are always busy trying to kill God. And Prabhupada mentions even Ravan, even Kamsa, even Putana, they wanted Krishna to be dead. So Prabhupada is comparing the atheists to be like demons, modern demons, who were trying to kill God by their philosophy and by their books. And Prabhupada says, even if they try to kill God by their books, by their words, still God is God. Eventually everyone will die, but God will remain. And Prabhupada gives a very wonderful, humorous example that just like sometimes some vultures are there hovering in the air, and let's say they are hungry for last 3 days, they have not eaten anything. And then they see a cow, a living cow on the ground. So they are waiting for some dead carcass, but nothing is available. And they see a living cow. And if the vultures, they start shouting or cursing the cow, oh cow, you die, oh cow, you die. Why? So that they can eat. Just because they are cursing and they are calling, oh cow, you die, doesn't mean that a cow will die just by the cursing. Similarly, the atheists are trying to say, God is dead, God is dead. It's like the cursing and calling of the vultures. The cow will not die because of that cursing. So, Prabhupada this way was saying that, Nadasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Lord is always in control. Lord acts to his multifarious energies. So, one might say that, Nadasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Lord does not have anything to do. But we see that when Lord comes, he definitely does so many activities. Like Prabhupada mentions in another class. Someone may say, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. But you see Krishna coming right from day one of his appearance till the end he left back to his original abode. Krishna was busy doing so many things, killing demons and so many other activities. So how can one say that Natasya karyam? How can someone say that he does not do any work? Then Srila Prabhupada says that for killing of demons, Krishna does not get involved. Krishna did not supposed to get involved to kill demons. Why? Because to kill demons, he has many of his energies. And Prabhupada says, just like Krishna can create a small tremor, an earthquake, and he can kill thousands of demons. And for Krishna to shake the earth is not a difficult thing. Krishna carried the earth actually. So he can shake the earth and he can create a tremor. Or Krishna can let the Pacific Ocean leave his shore and flood the city, and so many demons can be killed. Or Krishna can arrange the spread of an epidemic, and so many demons can be killed. So Krishna did not come himself to kill demons. So why does Krishna come? So Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna comes to save or protect his devotees, to take care of his devotees. So Krishna actually comes for whom? Comes for his devotees, comes for all the people who are interested in rendering service to him. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nana vaptam vaptavyam varta evacha karmani. Krishna says, there is no work prescribed for me in these three worlds. Why? Because I do not want anything, nor I need anything. Yet, I am engaged in prescribed duties. So Krishna does not want anything from this material world. He does not need anything from the material world. So why does he come? He comes to serve our wants and our needs. The devotee's wants and devotee's needs. That is Krishna. And that's why he is engaged in prescribed duties. Like you see in the scriptures, we see Krishna regularly says that he has come to protect his devotees, paritranaya sadhunam. So what he is doing? Nothing but he is trying to protect his devotees. That is Krishna. Devotees need, devotees want. So fulfill that want of a devotee and the need of a devotee, Krishna comes. Or Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita again, evam parampara praptam evam rajarishayu vidu. So Krishna comes to again properly define the parampara and let the Vedic knowledge be propagated, so that the devotees can take advantage of that and come back to him. So Krishna comes for devotees. Then Krishna says, Chaturvarna Mayashrishtam Gunakarma Vibhagasha. So he comes and he creates the four Varnashrams. Why? For us to take benefit of. So in this way, Krishna comes here, even though Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate, he has no work, but he comes to work for his devotees' pleasure. And not only that, Krishna comes himself, but Krishna also engages his pure devotees who are beyond work to also work for the common, the benefit of common people. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tat tat evetaro jana. The devotees do not require, those who are pure devotees, they are beyond the material world. But yet, Krishna tells them to set a perfect example for others to follow. In the purport to yad yad acharati sreshtas, Prabhupada says, there are two classes of living entities in this world. The first class is that of people who have polluted heart. And the second class is that of people who are materially free from all anarthas. And Prabhupada says that Krishna arranges devotional service so that people who are polluted heart, having polluted heart, they take up Krishna consciousness and gradually they get purified. But for those who are already purified, materially free from all avarice, for them, they are already practicing Krishna consciousness, and therefore Krishna tells them to practice Krishna consciousness as they are doing and then set an example for others to follow. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is saying that verse, that is the reason why Krishna is urging or telling Arjuna not to give up fight. Arjuna wanted to give up fight. Arjuna was already a pure devotee. But Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight to set an example for others. So in this way, Krishna has come here to work for his devotees. Srila Prabhupada gives an example in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita of how Krishna, even though he is busy in creation externally through his energies, yet he is completely neutral. Krishna says that, Prabhupada says that, just like a high court judge, when he's sitting on a bench, he is not doing anything, he's just sitting there, and maybe banging this hammer. But through his judgment, someone is punished, someone is rewarded, someone is fined, someone is put in prison, someone is hanged. But he himself is completely neutral. Udasinavat. Similarly, Krishna externally looks like he is, through his energies, his creation is done, but actually he is not involved. And as Prabhupada says here in this particular purport which we are reading today, the verse, that sometimes Krishna agrees to come as a human being and perform wonderful, uncommon pastimes. So regularly Krishna is not involved in this material creation, but sambhavami yoge yoge. Krishna comes in proper intervals and then he gives devotional service, a method which is applicable for that particular age, so that devotees can practice, people who are conditioned, who are in search of Krishna, can take up the activity and become proper devotees and ultimately go back to him. So the whole idea which Srila Prabhupada is trying to convey is that Krishna is nothing to do, yet Krishna comes and he comes to service, or rather work for his devotees. So I was referring to Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, wherein the residents of Jambu Dweep offer prayers to the Lord. And then in that particular chapter, from different planets, different devotees of Lord, they are offering prayers, like for example, Matsya Avatar. So in one particular planet, the devotees in Matsya Avatar of the planet where Matsya Avatar stays, they are offering prayers. Or in some other planet, devotees who are staying in the planet where Kurma Avatar stays, they are offering prayers. So in Kim Purusha Loka, Hanumanji is staying, so he is offering prayers to Lord Ramchandra. So when I was going through the shloka, the purport and translation, I really felt very nice to read them, and then I could see that there was a lot of connection with that chapter, with this particular verse which Srila Prabhupada is describing here. So I thought I'll just read that particular, or rather discuss from that particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Hanumanji is glorifying his Lord Ramchandra. So Hanumanji is saying there, in his glorification to Lord Ramchandra, he says that Lord Ramchandra, he acted just like an ordinary human being. But through it, Hanumanji mentions that through it, Lord Ramchandra exhibited an exemplary character to teach others how to behave in this world. So Lord Ramchandra acted like a human being, but actually he was not a human being. He was Supreme Lord himself. But he played a role of a human being. Like Bhagavatam mentions, Kritavan Kalakila Karmani Saramena Keshava Ati Martyani Bhagavan Guda Kapata Manusha. So Lord comes to perform a stage, comes as a stage performer. So when drama is exhibited, you see a person performing some other activity. He has nothing to do with that activity, but he comes and performs. And the best artist is that person who will not reveal his real identity, and he will perform in such a way that people will get caught up in understanding or thinking that he is that person. Like sometimes in drama, recently we had a drama festival, and in the announcement they were told, said that devotees have worked hard for so long time. So if you identify some devotee, please do not laugh, do not disturb their performance. So sometimes you can identify a devotee that he is acting. But Lord is a perfect actor. He acts in such a way, no one can identify him. He comes as a human being and no one can know also. People still are today in confusion that Lord Ram is an ordinary human being. You made all him a god. Philosophies are like that today in India also today. People come and say that you made Krishna god or Ram god. He was an ordinary human being. That is Krishna's perfect acting. 5,000 years ago he acted, still his acting is perfect. People are still confused. That's the greatest artist. So Hanumanji is saying that he came to exhibit exemplary character for others to follow. And Hanumanji mentions that Lord Ram, when he came, he was untouched by material contamination. Prabhupada says in that purport that if you want to see Lord Ram or Krishna, one needs Premanjana, psalm of love. Otherwise, one cannot see Lord Ram or Lord Krishna. One will actually be confused. Just like Ravana, he was confused. He saw Lord Ram personally in front of him, but he thought Lord Ram to be ordinary person, ordinary Kshatriya. And that's why Ravan attempted to kidnap Sita Devi, because he thought Ram was an ordinary Kshatriya from Raghu dynasty. But Ravan did not know not only Lord Ram, but even Sita was transcendental. Prabhupada says in purport that apparently Ravan took Sita, but actually Ravan could not take the original Sita. The real Sita was completely not in, or Ravan could not even see the real Sita. What he took was a false Sita. So therefore, Lord Ramchandra and Sita Devi, when they came in this material world, they were completely free from material contamination. This is the glory which Hanumanji praises in the Bhagavatam pages. And then Hanumanji continues, he mentions that Ravan was ordained not to be killed by anyone except a human being. And therefore, Lord Ram took the form of a human being. But actually, Lord Ram appeared for human as a human being, not just to kill Ravan, but also to teach all the mortal beings in this world vital lessons from his own character. So Prabhupada mentions in that purport that Lord comes for two reasons, specifically two reasons. One is destroying the demons and protecting devotees. But when he comes specifically, he comes to protect his devotees. And then how does he protect his devotees? He protects his devotees by first satisfying them by his personal presence. That means he comes and gives them his audience. And secondly, Prabhupada says, he also comes to teach them how they should remain in devotional service and not fall down from devotional service. And then Prabhupada picks up this particular theme of that particular verse which we're discussing. Ravana was ordained to be killed by a human being. So Lord Ram came as a human being to kill. So Prabhupada says, taking that episode, that Sita was kidnapped by Ravan and Lord Ram killed Ravan. So Prabhupada says, from this incident, Lord Ram came to teach his devotees many lessons. And Prabhupada says in purport, the first lesson which Lord Ram came to teach his devotees through this particular incident of Sita being kidnapped is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. This is a fun lesson which Lord Ram came to give us. Prabhupada continues, Lord Ramchandra wanted to instruct how to fully adapt the discipline of religious system and how to be a beloved and a dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulation. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramchandra demonstrated this duty. So this is one aspect which Srila Prabhupada says why Lord Ramchandra came. Second aspect which Lord Ramchandra taught from the example is that Prabhupada says, by his personal example, Lord Ramchandra also taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life. So you can see varied reasons for grihasthas and brahmacharis, for sannyasis. Everyone can imply from these lessons. And Prabhupada says, to teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Ramchandra, although Supreme Lord himself, underwent a series of tribulation because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramchandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. So this is one of the reasons why Lord Ramchandra, which Lord Ram taught to his devotees from this particular incident. The third lesson which Srila Prabhupada says in the purport is, Prabhupada says another aspect is that although Lord Vishnu or his devotees may apparently suffer when they come, but they have nothing to do with such tribulation. This is the lesson which Lord Ram taught, that even though it looks like Lord Ram was suffering, or sometimes a pure devotee suffers, but actually they are not suffering. Prabhupada says they are mukta purusha, liberated persons, devotees. Although a devotee may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called as transcendental bliss in separation. The emotion a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ram from Sita, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So this is Srila Prabhupada throws a light that how Lord Ram or Lord Krishna comes, and through their pastimes, they're teaching all the devotees wonderful lesson. Hanumanji continues and he says, Lord Ram, he is supreme personality of Godhead, and he is not attached to this material world. He is fully Shad Aishwarya Purna. He is complete with all his opulences. And therefore, because he does not want anything from the material world, he has everything. He just cannot suffer in this material world. So the possible suffering which people see because of his separation from Sita is actually not true. And Hanumanji says that nor it is possible that Lord Ram could ever get separated from Sita Devi and later Lakshman. It is not possible. Lord Ram does not want anything from the material world. He is completely in his spiritual realm, and there the devotees are serving him. Therefore, Lord is attached to his devotees. So then how Lord Ram can be separated from Sita or Lakshman? Srila Prabhupada says that to give up either of them for Lord Ram was absolutely impossible. Lord is completely detached, but is attached to the service rendered by his devotees. But Lord Ram, when he came in this material world, he came as an ideal king. And therefore, to demonstrate a lesson, it looks apparently that externally he banished Sita or he was separated from Lakshman eventually. But Srila Prabhupada says, this is from the angle of an external or outsider we see that Lord Ram got separated from Sita to teach the world a lesson of a noble king. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that, but when you see from the angle of a self-realized soul who sees Lord Ram's pastime as it is, then you'll see that even though apparently externally they are separated, they are not separated. They are always together. So therefore Srila Prabhupada urges that one should read all these transcendental literatures hear this transcendental literature from the mouth of a self-realized soul. And then one can actually see things as they are. And finally, Hanumanji is praising Lord Ramchandra. That Lord Ramchandra, his devotional service is so open, so perfect. He does not ask for any qualification. He does not see any birth, does not see beauty, does not see eloquence, nor intelligence, nor any superior race. And Hanumanji says that example for this is our own race, the race of monkeys. Hanumanji mentions we are race of monkeys. We are neither of high birth, neither we are beautiful nor intelligent. Yet, Lord Ramchandra make friendship with all of us. This is the greatness of Lord Ramchandra. So what is needed? The only thing needed to please Lord Ramchandra is little service. So Prabhupada says, this is Lord Ramchandra. If you want to please Lord Ramchandra, just perform little service to Lord Ramchandra. And Prabhupada says, in the extension of that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also exhibited this magnanimous mood. Little service, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely gives himself to that devotee. So Prabhupada mentions in that purport later that among all the various incarnations of the Lord, the most popular are Krishna, Rama and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because in these incarnations, when Lord came, they delivered so many people in lots. As Krishna and Rama, they delivered many devotees. They killed the demon, but that was also mercy. They sent them back to world. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not kill any demons, but he gave them love of Godhead. So therefore Prabhupada says, and that is the reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also exhibited the Shadbhuj form, in which he exhibited the two hands of Lord Ram, two hands of Lord Krishna, and two heads of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore one should worship Shadbhuj form and achieve or get mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and deliver himself. So in this way, what we see in this particular purport is that Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is saying, he does not have anything to do, any work, but yet rather he is working, and he is working for his devotees. The impersonalists, they may take this verse, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, and they may profess an impersonalist idea, that Lord has nothing to do with, Lord has no this, no that, nothing to do, no work to do. But actually, if you see from the angle, right angle of Vaishnava Acharyas, they present a personalist picture that even Lord has nothing to do, yet he does. That is the glory of Lord. God is not an official post that he decides something and he has to do what he has decided. No. Tomorrow he may change a decision, alter, just for an individual relationship with a devotee. That is Krishna. So therefore we need to know that Krishna is giving Vedic literatures where he mentions that he does not have anything to do, but yet he also comes and within his range, he comes and arranges that his devotees come back to him. Like for example, in the Bhagavatam, we hear about the story of that how Lord Vamandev appeared just so that he could protect Indra, his devotee, and then he could take all the property from Bali Maharaj and give it back to Indra. That was the official reason for his appearance. Now it is also mentioned in the Puranas that when Lord Vamandev appeared, it is mentioned that the whole universe was fully glowing with the effulgence of Lord Vamandev. So much of light was spreading, the demons were getting disturbed. So Bali Maharaj went to Prahlad Maharaj and asked that why there is so much disturbance. So Prahlad Maharaj, he meditated and he said, oh, my supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vamandev has appeared. So Bali became very disturbed. He said, oh, I'll go now and I'll destroy Lord Vishnu. So Prahlad said, Prahlad became very angry. What is this? My own grandson is saying that I'll destroy Lord Vishnu. So he became so angry, cursed. You think you are very great, you have everything in the world. So I curse you that everything of your, whatever you have in your life, will be taken away in one shot, in one moment. Everything will be snatched away from you. So when Bali heard that curse, he was a little disturbed. Then he begged forgiveness from Prahlad and said, please forgive me. Please do something for me. And then Prahlad said, but because you have begged for forgiveness, I also give you a boon that you will achieve mercy of Lord Vamandev. So Lord Vamandev officially came to just give Indra his post and take everything from Bali. But for the request of Prahlad, his prayer that everything should be snatched in one moment and the other moment, Bali should become a great devotee of Lord. Lord, apart from his official position, official post, he also acted in such a way that Bali becomes great devotee and he becomes the greatest of Mahajans. In the same way, we see Lord Ram also in his life. When Lord Ram was coming back from Lanka after killing Ravana, he came back to Ayodhya. So he was going through his Pushpak Vimana. And then when he was flying, he wanted all the monkey soldiers and everyone who helped him to come to Ayodhya. And he wanted to serve them because he could not give them anything when he was in forest. So we see that when Lord Ram is going with Sita Devi with all the monkey soldiers and Vibhishan and so many people back to Ayodhya, in between comes the state of Karnataka and Hampi comes there. So the Puranas mentioned that Sita Devi, she saw this Hampi, and Lord Rama is saying this is the place from where all the monkey soldiers are coming. So there Sita Devi told them that why you are taking all the monkey soldiers, but what about their wives, their daughters, their sons? The whole family is there. They are in separation from them. So take them also. So the whole plane came down and then everyone, whole family was taken to Ayodhya. And Lord Ram arranged for a grand reception for every one of them. So when everything was over, then Lord Ram told, so now all of you can go back to your own places. But then there is a personal view here where Lord Ram told Hanumanji, you stay back. Everyone goes, but you stay. And Vibhishan says, no, Lord Ram, I want to stay with you. What is the use of having a kingdom, but not you? And then recently we were in the South India Yatra and Sri Rangam. We heard a wonderful story that how Lord Ram himself gave the deity of Lord Ranganath. I am not different from the deity you carry. But on the way, there is another personal aspect of it. Lord also knew that there is one devotee, Dharma Varman, in South India, who wanted also Lord Ranganath to come to his kingdom. So through this pastime, we see that how when Lord Ranganath came in Sri Rangam, Lord Ram also pleased Vibhishan, Dharma Varman, and so many devotees. That is the personal aspect of the Lord. So in this way, we can see that Lord is always eager to take, Lord has a personal relationship with each one of us, and therefore is eager to take all of us back to Godhead. Every individual is a personal living entity for Lord, his own part and parcel. So therefore, as a living entity staying in this material world, it is for our good to understand that we all are personally connected with the God, Lord, and therefore we have to develop that personal relationship with Krishna. And that personal relationship with Krishna can be developed with what? With prayers. But our prayers are not enough. We need prayers of others also. Like I just got a nice email from one devotee who sent me about one small lecture of Kadam Kanan Maharaj. She was mentioning that there are two things necessary for us to go back to Godhead. One is prayers another is relationship. She was mentioning that our prayers are not sufficient enough to develop relationship with Krishna. Our prayers cannot take us beyond this material world. But we need that big jump, and that jump will come with others praying for us. So when others pray for us, then we can have hope that we can develop our personal relationship with Krishna. But to develop, or for rather to be having that prayers from other devotees, the most important aspect is to develop relationship with other devotees. If there is not much relationship with, not nothing to do much with other devotees, there is less chance of someone praying for us. So therefore, these two important aspects, prayers, and secondly, the relationship with other devotees is an important aspect, so that not just we pray, but others also pray for us. And eventually, we can all go ahead and establish our personal relationship with Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, we can fulfill our purpose of human life. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Like to ask Kalakand Prabhu if you want to add something, and any addition or subtraction, any problems. Thank you much. Any other devotees want to comment something on today's purport? Any questions? Okay. Sulandia, thank you so much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.